Well, God, as usual, wasn't surprised by anything that went on this last week or the week before or at any other time. So while I was searching and wondering what I was going to be preaching on, he already knew what it was going to be. And he put things together so that the music that the worship team and Peggy picked out for this week and that the special that was kind of put on Butch's heart, that all came together. So that when we look at our text, we're going to say, oh yeah, this stuff all kind of flows together, doesn't it? I really didn't honestly dial into this text until Friday afternoon, late. And I didn't until I said, okay, this is it. I was going back and forth between a half dozen different places this week. It just like... But yet I know beyond a doubt that this is where God wants us today. It's one of those things where, boom, taking us here. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. If you don't have a Bible with you, check underneath some of the seats. There are Bibles underneath some of the seats, hymnals under others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, before I get going, I see Alice is back there. I don't think we had you stand up before. Alice? And Vicky? And Annette? Yep, you guys got to stand up. You guys come in late, so we make you stand up. Actually, we had everybody who helped with VBS stand up earlier, and you weren't here before, so you have to stand up now for a special. But just appreciate all the help everybody gave in VBS. Didn't want you guys to miss out on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and your salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. So we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you give us your word, that we don't have to wonder what it is you have to say about different things. But Lord, we can come to your scriptures, your holy word, and we can read them, and through the empowerment and the illuminating presence of the Holy Spirit, we can have understanding. And we can see where it is and how it is you want us to deal with those issues. So, Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures to us today. Lord, that you would guide me and anoint me as I preach your word. That, Lord, I would speak your truth under your leading, under your guidance, and under your empowerment. And Father, we pray that all that is done here would bring honor and glory unto your name. And it's in that name that we pray, of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God. Amen. Kind of a simplistic message I have today. Basically, I just want to pull three lessons. Well, maybe even four, but three or four lessons out of this text. First lesson is that God's comfort of us in our trouble better enables us to comfort other people in their troubles. So many people have this, somehow been given this misinformation that when you become a Christian, your troubles disappear. And as we read this text, we see that Paul is talking about he was in such trouble that he was despairing of life. So we know that's not true. But it's not just true just for him, because he was somebody special. Maybe he had to suffer some special persecution or something because he was different somehow. This is the lifestyle of being a Christian. That we will face troubles and persecutions. Jesus promises us that. He does that himself. He says, if they turned against me, don't think that they're not going to turn against you. They will. As much as the world hated me, they're going to hate you more, is what he tells us. But what we see here is that the troubles that we go through aren't without purpose. God doesn't allow them for no purpose. But instead what happens is that because we went through these troubles and God was there to help us through that trouble, we are better equipped to come alongside of somebody else and help them through that trouble. To be, as we've heard the term used, Jesus with skin on, to be God's love incarnate for that person. To be there for them. We've been promised not that we wouldn't have difficulties, but that we would have comfort amidst those difficulties. That He would be there as we went through them. Ever been alone, going through difficulties? And just couldn't make it? But yet when somebody was there, you were able to do it? That's why the guy who's lagging back in these marathons, why it's so difficult for some of these people to finish. They're by themselves. They've got no encouragement. They just can't go on. But yet we see that the people who are running in the pack, they've got each other to encourage each other. Or maybe there's a new runner that's running with somebody else. Say, no, you can do this. Keep up. And that new runner that's running with somebody will make it many more times than that brand new runner is running all by themselves. Because they have the encouragement. See, they've been through it before. And when we go through things, we can come alongside somebody else and say, you know, I went through that difficulty. We've just become part of a new ministry, PLP, Parents Opportunity for Peacefulness. We're going to be doing monitored visitation. Basically, different members of our congregation have said, I will come and I will sit here with this family who's having great distress right now so that they can have their visitation time. And when I've talked to each of the people who are involved and said that they would be willing to be part of this, each one of them somehow has had their heart softened towards that type of thing, because one way or another they've experienced it. Either directly, personally, that type of thing in their lives, or something similar. And they said, if not personally, somebody close to them. So they've been kind of through it. They say, I want to be there for those people, to be an encourager to them, to pray for them while they're doing this. People, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Serving our neighbors with Christ's love, our purpose statement. That's no more, no less than coming alongside of somebody in their difficult time and saying, I'm here for you. You don't have to go through that by yourself. I'm right here. I had somebody from the church this week who had to go to a court hearing. And you know what? I went with them. I couldn't say a word, but they were just glad that I went with them. I was a comfort just to be there. They didn't have to go alone. And what this passage is telling us, what God is trying to tell us is, when you went through your troubles, I was there for you. Now, when you see somebody else going through troubles, you need to be there for them. I'll be there for them too, but you need to be my representative also. That's what Paul is saying went happened to him. That he was comforted. And that now the comfort that he receives is for the church in Corinth. Now he can better come alongside of them and say, hey, I can help you. I've been through difficult times. Paul's not writing the letters 1st and 2nd Corinthians to Corinth because things are great. Okay? He's writing the church because there are some difficulties. And he's telling them, I've been through the tough times. It's been so bad I thought I was going to die. I was sure I was dead. But God was there. He comforted me. And in this instance, He delivered me. Teaches us to rely on one another, to be there for them. By that example, teaches patience, endurance. Okay, that long distance runner? He's right there beside the guy. No, I've been through this. Yeah. Don't worry, I've been through that tough part. You're going to hit that where you just feel like you can't go another step. He said, nope, just take a couple more steps and you'll get through that wall. It's called hitting the wall in running. Now, that was something else I did too, again, when I was young and skinny. I didn't just swim, but I, at one point in time, I also did long distance running. Believe it or not, it's true. Wasn't very good, but I did it. And you know how I was able to do it? Because I had a friend who was across the street from me who wanted me to go, who wanted me to run with him. Because he wanted to run. And he was good. He was very good. So I went and I ran with him. And when I was having difficulties, he was a lot faster than me. He didn't have to run at the speed I ran. He could have run slower, but when we practiced and we just went running, he would run with me. And when I got kind of slugging down, say, no, you can push through this. You can do it. And I made it through. That's teaching patient endurance, perseverance. Again, it's part and parcel going side by side with somebody through difficulties. The comfort that we receive, the comfort of Christ overflows into that person. Read that verse. Verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives. Okay, the suffering. You have to have the suffering before you can truly have the comfort. Just as the suffering of Christ flows into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. That overflowing comfort, it's not just to be wasted. It's to be overflowed on others. Share it. That's what we're told here. Okay, that's our first lesson. That comfort is for sharing. Second lesson here is, we're supposed to be relying on God and not self. Who was Paul relying on here? He said, I came to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. So what he did is he placed his hope in God. We're supposed to rely on God, not ourselves. Why? Because, well, when you trust in something, it should be something which is trustworthy. Now, you can trust me for some things. Don't trust me for others. Tell me to do something. Sometimes I might do it, sometimes I might not. If you don't write it down on a piece of paper for me and give it to me, it's quite likely I'll forget. If I don't have it written down on my day planner, the likelihood of me forgetting it is really high. I'll remember it, yes, after I was supposed to have done it. Next time I see you, oh yeah, I was supposed to go do that for you, wasn't I? Yeah, okay. So I'm not necessarily real trustworthy for that. I don't have the perfect memory. But you can trust me for some things. You can trust me to pray for you. You can trust me to show up for meals. But if you really want something to trust in, we need to trust in God. He's the one thing which is absolutely trustworthy. His word never fails. He never tells a lie. He's always just. He's always true. Therefore, it's a good idea to put your hope in Him. He says, I am the hope. It's true. Place our hope there. See, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, that power over death, that victory, is the same power that He gives us to live out our lives. Now, when we're trusting in Him, we're trusting in His power, that great power which can overcome even death. That means there isn't anything which is beyond Him. How many of you think that it's beyond me to jump from here to George? The second George. Yep. Yeah, I'm about time somebody from my back row raises their hand. You guys, normally I can count on you to raise your hand. Hey, I can't jump that far. But if it was God's will, He could certainly carry me that far. He could. It's not beyond Him. What about Philip? God took him from one spot, took him to another. Miles and miles away. Why? Because He wanted him to talk to that guy over there. That's how he had to get there. Oh, you're done with this guy. You need to go over here now. Sitting there in the pool, baptizing this guy from Ethiopia, and all of a sudden, whoop, he's gone. He's off to some other town. Why? Because it was God's will. It's not normally God's will to shift us around that way, so normally He doesn't do that. But there isn't anything that's beyond Him. That's the point. This church, ministering to this community, it's not beyond God. We had 44 young people who came here and learned more about Jesus. Again, we had one little girl who was here one night, whose parents are not Christians, and yet she came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in those 2 hours. 2 hours. Can't be done. Her parents aren't even Christians. You know what? You or I, we couldn't do it. God can. And He did. It was awesome. It's wonderful. We need to rely on God. The lesson here is, like Paul said, I came to the point I couldn't rely on myself, so I relied on God, and guess what? It worked. Amen. God got me through. Didn't make the trouble go away, but He got me through it. His power was enough. third thing I want to take here, last one we're going to deal with, is prayer. Now, two things about prayer. The first one, this shows us individual prayer. And you say, Pastor, I read that text, I do not see individual prayer here, where it's teaching that that Paul prayed. Well, let's revisit this one verse. It says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. If you don't think Paul was praying there, then you haven't been to the point where you're fearing even for your life. Trust me, he was praying. Paul was, first off, a man of prayer. So it's response number one. Let's take this as an assumed prayer. But this is teaching us that prayer is an integral part of the comfort of God. There he was, the point where he was distraught. He had to turn to God. What is prayer? It's conversation, dialogue with God. He had to turn to God and say, help! It's a very short conversation, but it works. And God heard. But you know what else this teaches us? It isn't that just our prayers individually matter when we're in our difficult situations. It tells us that corporate prayer matters. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf because of the gracious Father granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. What Paul is telling the church of Corinth is saying, you know what? I went through these difficult, terrible times, and you were praying for me, and that mattered. It's because of your prayers that I was able to get through that, that God came alongside and comforted me, got me through this. God answered your prayers. Your prayers were not in vain. They weren't of secondary importance, that God would have done it even if you hadn't prayed. He said it was an answer to those prayers. You don't know that your prayer is unimportant. As a matter of fact, God tells us that our prayers are absolutely important. And it's a lie straight from hell to think that they're not important. I don't need to pray somebody else's, or, you know, it really doesn't matter. If it's really God's will, He'll do it anyway. It's God's will that you pray. It's God's will you pray for me. People, pray for me. I need it. Trust me in this. As our video, for those of you who are in Sunday school, pointed out, pastors are human and they are not perfect. I'm a very good example of an imperfect pastor. I stand before you as that. Sometimes more imperfect than I really ought to be. And I need your prayer. But you need my prayer. And I have to pray for you. And you know what? You also have to pray for each other. Pat asked if we could pray for her daughter-in-law, who's going to be having surgery on Friday. We said, yes, we can do that. And to remember that she, on Friday at 11 o'clock, she's going to be going in for surgery. And just to pray. That prayer is a comfort. There's a woman who lives just 3 blocks away from here. They're members of another church. But she has, she has cancer of the ovaries, ovarian cancer. That's in stage 4. I mean, that's not good. She's going in for surgery this next month. She found out in May. She spent the second half of May and June taking chemotherapy and dealing with the fact that she could well die. Her goal is to live to be 57 years old because that's how old her mother was before she died of cancer. Now, Linda and her husband are both Christians. And I'm not telling you they're not having some difficulties. They haven't had bad days or bad times. But what I am telling you is that they feel the comfort of the prayers of other people praying for them. They know that God is with them. They know that other people are praying for them. They're feeling the tangible effect. They said, it's the only thing getting us through this is the prayers of all these people. They say, we talked to somebody who says, yeah, they put us on this prayer chain and that prayer chain. There is literally thousands of people praying for them. Those prayers are important. Prayer is not something that is, well, maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't. It's part and parcel of the whole process. Just remember, it's talking to God. Saying, Lord, you know Linda a lot better than I do. Lord, please comfort her. That's prayer. Listen to God with an open heart. Sometimes He'll tap you on the shoulder. It's time. Pray for that person. Well, I don't know what I need to pray for. Just pray for them. Anybody here ever have that experience? Mm-hmm. Then you talk to that person maybe months or even years later, and you come to the exact time, and they say, oh, I prayed for you at this time. What was going on? Oh, I had this terrible thing going on. But you know what? God got me through it. I could tell. It's amazing. That's it. It's awesome. Again, we went to the VBS deal. Awesome. No. Three things to take from this passage. There's much more here. But first, remember that we're going to go through trouble, but God is there to comfort us. And the comfort that we receive is to be used to come alongside and comfort others later. As we've been comforted, we're to go alongside and comfort others even more. Second, we're supposed to be relying on God, not ourselves. When we try to do that, any of this stuff in our own strength, we're going to fall flat on our face. We're going to get to the point where we say, I can't do it. And that's when we say, go God. Speak to me. Tell me what it is. Empower me. Carry me through this. That's when we come to point three, prayer. We need to pray individually for ourselves in those situations. But we need to remember others as they go through their difficulties. That's it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Those first 11 verses are about God being the comforter. It's also about us being comforted by Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You now and we ask that You would comfort us. Lord, that we might be a comfort to others too. Lord, might we not try to do this in our own strength, but might we lean fully and completely upon You. Lord, just hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll give you an opportunity today, if you need some of that joy of the Lord that was sung about earlier, if you need to give up some sorrows and some pains, come on up forward. We'll anoint, we'll pray. We also have donuts and coffee and chocolate milk downstairs in the entry area. So if you just want to fellowship after the service, that's fine too. But if you need prayer, come forward during this.